Blog Talk Radio.
Well, your dadgum government, you saw it so and so's. You got your damn hands in every pocket of my clothes. Well, your dadgum, dadgum, dadgum government. Oh, don't you know? Oh, don't you love them sometimes? Well, your dadgum government, you better pay attention. You're setting up there like a fool's convention. Will you dadgum, dadgum, dadgum government? Uh-huh. Oh, don't you know? Oh, don't you love me sometimes? Uh-huh.
Well, welcome to Handling the Truth. This is Terry Dodd. I'm here with my co-host tonight, Mike Gaddy, who is... stepped away from his mic for just a moment. We'll be back with us shortly. And we've also got a special guest who's kind of like a co-host for us, Dave Scorpio. Dave, you want to say hello?
Hello, Terry. Thanks for having me on. This is going to be a good discussion.
Great. Yeah, it will. This should be a, we got to figure out a way to laugh because it is insane out there. And the only thing you can really do to keep some levity is to find some things to laugh at because it's criminally comical.
That's a good term. And if you're not laughing, you're crying at this point.
That's right. Well, Dave, I'm going to open us with a quick prayer here just to set the stage because I think if we don't have some divine intervention, we may be going down the tubes and it's not all that funny, but we're going to figure out a way to smile tonight.
Okay.
Almighty Father, we're just grateful that we can turn to you, and we know that who the ultimate victor is. We know that you're going to win this whole thing when it's all said and done, and you are the one that's going to expose it all. You're going to bring those that are against you to their knees, and we trust that that'll be sooner rather than later. Father, we're just grateful that we can have an audience with you. We acknowledge you as the creator, the only self-existent one in this universe. And Father, just keep us alert, keep us sane, keep us calm in the midst of all the stress that's going on around us. Help us to see the truth in the midst of all the lies that are happening. Father, just help our listeners to have open minds and open hearts and help them remove the scales from their eyes and our eyes. Be with us tonight. Fill us with your spirit. Take control of what we do and say here. We give you control, Father. We'd rather your spirit would speak through us than for our own words to be there. Thank you for bringing our guest, Dave, and whatever's going on with Mike right at the moment, we pray that it'll be quickly resolved and he'll be back here with us. Father, thank you for your son, the sacrifice that he made. He paid the price for all of our stupidity. And we praise you because of that plan that you put forward so that we could be covered in his righteousness. It's in his name, Yahshua HaMashiach, that we pray. Amen. Well, Dave.
That was good.
We've been talking about some of this craziness. I mean, Nevada at 125% turnout, they got 25% more votes than they've got registered voters. What's your take on this whole thing?
Well, Terry, we've got to count every vote. Come on.
Yeah.
And it's actually a very clever mantra that the Democrats have brought up because it's just making Trump look, you know, like a sore loser. And he's challenging our democratic process. He's a dictator. And, what's incredible, Terry, is that the mainstream media is 100% aboard. There's not one single voice of dissent within it.
Not even in Fox News.
No.
I listened a little bit to Fox election night, and it just made me sick to my stomach. I mean, not that I ever, I mean, I've always known they were controlled opposition. All you got to do is look at Rupert Murdoch and who his partners are, and the fact that he's a globalist, and watch Chris Wallace as a debate moderator make an absolute ass of himself. And you recognize that, you know, Fox is just controlled opposition. I mean, people talk about InfoWars being controlled opposition. Fox News is unquestionably controlled opposition. And in this case, they're not even opposition.
Yeah, and they've been sliding to the left slowly but surely ever since its inception. And, yeah, the performance by Chris Wallace was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. It was shameful. But, you know, the media has lost all shame. They've lost all fear of repercussions. You know, they pulled off a fake pandemic. Why not a fake election, too?
It all seems to be, clearly laid out all the way back in the early 1980s by the Rockefeller Foundation. And, of course, Bill Gates has kind of stepped forward almost like he's taken the lead for Rockefeller since he died. I guess the 92 descendants or whatever it was, none of them were quite had the name recognition that Gates had. So it seems like he took over for that, because that's certainly the plan they've been following.
Absolutely. The lockstep plan, you know, it's 10 years old. And well, Terry, who do you think is pulling the strings at the top here? I mean, who's above Bill Gates? Obviously, you know, I believe he's a salesman.
Well, there's no question that not just Soros, and I've got a mental block on the guy's name that stepped in, that was a Soros protege that is now pretty much taking control of the crown. I just can't remember his name right offhand. Lord Malik Brown, is that it?
Well, I'm not sure. Huh.
I believe so. And he's certainly up there in the chain of command for this group. But the Rothschilds are still, you know, are still there. And, there's a lot of other family names associated with them that are still at that level. But no question, Soros is pulling a lot of strings.
Yeah, it's amazing how many lives that man has ruined by manipulating currencies and crashing currencies. I don't know how these people are able to live with themselves. I guess they're just completely devoid of that inner voice, that inner conscience, that connection to God, I guess.
It's been really challenging of late because I've come across some really semi-awake, very good people who are still active in the Catholic Church. And it's a real challenge to try to talk to them. If you look at the what the reformers knew, they all knew that prophecy was not off in the future, not off in the past. They knew that it was playing out over history. They have what's called a historical view of prophecy, and they all knew exactly who the little horned beast was. And that, trying to relate that to someone who, you know, has gone religiously and participated in the Catholic Church. Some of them have made really interesting comments, and most of it is that they know some really good Christians who really do know Scripture and really do have a personal relationship, but it's still really a challenge. Because, you know, I don't follow a Roman calendar. I don't know if you know that or not about me, but I follow a biblical calendar. And so I get that kind of raises a conversation sometimes about, well, what kind of calendar is it we're following? And I said, it was a Roman calendar. It was made up by Rome. And, you know, that kind of opens the door for conversation. But it's interesting on this esoteric level. We really have to kind of get to that level, that esoteric level, to realize how many of these people pray to Lucifer. And,
That is true. This current Pope, if there was ever any doubt, the man has disregarded every single tenet of traditional Catholicism, whatever was left of it. And, the guy's embracing gay marriage and pretty much everything, and communism, essentially. It's incredible.
But you asked the question, who's really pulling the strings? Who's behind all this? Well, it's the people who pray to Lucifer, both in Talmudic Kabbalist Judaism as well as the Jesuits. And when you really boil it down to the spiritual battle, it begins to make a lot of sense on what we've been facing and how unconscious these people are. They talk about psychopaths. They're just exposing themselves without any. It's like they don't care anymore. What's going on right now is exposing them to the bone.
Yeah, they don't. You're right. They really have lost all shame, all caring. You know about like the you know this so-called mainstream media. They don't seem to have any compunction to do investigative journalism anymore. It's just they parrot what the government says and what the intelligence agencies say. It's unbelievable.
Well, you got to believe. Is that Mike?
Hello, gentlemen. Sorry, I was tardy to get in there.
It's okay. We've been doing just fine. Once.
Well, I heard.
Mike,
yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Your volume's a little low. If you can turn it up, maybe.
Oh, let me turn my volume up. Is it any better now?
Yeah.
You're good.
Okay. I was just going to say when Dave asked that question, I was rushing across the room to try to answer for him, and then you guys got into it. But I was there's a couple of quotes. So when you say who's running this thing, I always think of two quotes, one from Benjamin Disraeli and the other from Supreme Court Justice Felix Frankfurter. And the first one from Disraeli is, and I quote, "For you see, the world is governed by very different personages from what is imagined by those who are not behind the scenes," unquote. And then Justice Felix Frankfurter said, quote, "The real rulers in Washington are invisible and exercise power from behind the scenes," unquote. So we've got answers that are quite, have some age on them, and people still don't believe it. And, I believe if I were sitting in their position right now, I would have thought that with all of the lies that they have been able to project on the people, and then let's not forget William Casey's comment in 1981 when he said, "We will know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false." Well, I think we have crossed that threshold. And the American public, Bubus Americanus, is so used to hearing lies, they now believe that that's all there is. There is no contradiction to the lies of government because that is gospel according to Bubus. So I don't think, we got a whole nation of people to believe that the three buildings could do free fall into their own footprint, and one of them that wasn't hit by anything. So if you can get a society of people to believe that crap, you can get them to believe anything.
That's a great point, Mike. And what I was realizing today is, if you're wearing a mask, it doesn't matter what your opinion is on anything, because you've bought the biggest lie ever perpetrated on humanity, and you are actively participating in the destruction of human freedom.
Amen.
Well, I've asked the question so many times, if we go to the 23rd Psalm, and then there's other verses that we can go to, why, if a Christian really believes that God is in control, why would they ever don a mask anyway?
That's so true. Yeah, because
well,
either you believe God protects you or you don't.
Well, but not just that. He's given us an immune system. And his science is superior. And a mask, if you read the box, is not a defense against a virus. And if it was, if it's a virus, I keep coming back to this. We've got to start asking the question, what's really causing these symptoms? Because nobody's isolated a virus.
Yeah, I agree.
But by putting that mask on, you're basically denying that you have an immune system that was set up to handle this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, and they want to replace our immune system with vaccines.
Well, the vaccines are criminal. I mean, I personally see that as premeditated murder. The masks are that way too, by the way. The masks are premeditated murder. They'll cause bacterial pneumonia. They'll cause pleurisy, and they will cause depression, which results in suicide. So if you know that this is the situation, which Fauci and Gates and all of these others, they all know exactly what the negative adverse effects of these masks and social distancing are. And by promoting it, it's premeditated murder.
Yeah, that's
well.
True.
We have a nation of sheep, gentlemen, and they're going to follow. You know, they're going to follow right up to the point of the slaughter pen, and then they will bleat twice and jump right into the slaughter pen because that's what government told them to do. Government, and you know, I even found a passage today where it was mentioned by some of the anti-federalists about the fact that government to these people under the Constitution of 1787, the government would eventually become God to the people who would listen and would adhere to it, because the way that it was established. And I got into a discussion today with Jim Ram on the fact that it is my contention, and I believe I can prove it, and it started very early, that the judicial system under this government was set up to defend the government from the people and to not defend the people's rights. And they, most assuredly, the federal judiciary did that right off the bat with the Sedition Act in 1798. If you go back and read the transcripts of those trials and listen to what the judges said to the jury, when you have Samuel Chase telling a jury in a case, number one is that it makes no difference whether what the person said who is charged with sedition, it makes no difference whether that is true or false. You can't consider that in your ruling, when you listen to the case. The only thing you have to rule on is, did they say it or did they write it or did they not? Truth or false makes no difference. And then he also charged the jury and said, it makes no difference whether this law is constitutional or not. You are not to even think about that. You are just to judge, did this person say something negative against the government? If they did, they go to prison. So the federal judiciary set out from the very beginning to protect the government, and they even ruled in the Alien and Sedition Acts that they were constitutional when anyone with a brain knew they weren't. So the federal courts have been in place to protect the government from the get-go.
Well, Mike, you raised the question. You said you wanted to talk about what kind of mess we are in. You want to give us a kind of a picture of what you were thinking?
Well, number one, let me give it the old cliche. It's all over but the slow walking and the sad singing for America. Because the America that we believe, or some people believe still exists, has been gone for some time. And the major culprit in this is Bubus Americanus, because they've allowed it to happen. And in the majority of time, they voted for it to happen. When a person consistently violates their sacred oath to uphold and defend the Constitution, be it weak or strong, when they take an oath to uphold and defend that Constitution and they fail to do so, and you vote for them again because they're not the other party, you are complicit in the destruction. You are an accessory after the fact to the destruction of the country. And I know people don't want to listen to that. They want to blame it on somebody else. But we're in a serious position here. And, guys, I still will tell you straight up, the only way out of this is divine intervention. And I have a couple of scenarios that I believe will happen. And, of course, Dave and I have talked about this previously. I think you and I have talked about it too, Terry. But I've got a couple of scenarios that I think are going to play out here. And if I tell those scenarios, like I am prone to do on many occasions, I make a lot of people upset. Well, you know what? I lay down at night and toss and turn for 15 or 20 seconds worrying about how many people I upset during the day.
So is it your opinion that no matter how this turns out, it's how the powers in the operating from the shadows want it to turn out?
Absolutely, Terry. Here's something I learned being in the bowels of this beast for a while. Every contingency is planned for. They have two or three plans for every contingency. If something happens, if they get into the middle of this election and they see that it would profit the controllers, the international bankers, and all of their minions, if they see it would profit them to suddenly toss this election to Trump or to Biden, either one, regardless of what the original plan was, they will do that. They move quickly to adjust to varying scenarios. But I think the scenario was planned out long ago. The COVID was part of it. You threw that out there. You get the people to march stepping, lockstep, right into the gulag, and you get them to doing exactly what the government tells them to do. Then you tell them this is pre-planned. This was, okay, what we can do under this COVID thing, you know, that even Fauci said would happen back in 17, but, you know, Bubas can't believe that. So they said it would happen. It happens. And so then we are sitting here and we are going, okay, what's going to happen? It's planned out what's going to happen. But the mail-in ballots was the greatest thing to create the fraud to either side. So you have the fraud, which is being perpetrated on the American public, and they have already designed and they already have an idea of the idea of who they're going to put in there. But if circumstances begin to change throughout the country, they'll switch the other way because it really doesn't make any difference. And I know that there's a lot of people out there on the right that are just absolutely in love with Trump. They think he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. But I have some very good friends of mine, both of whom a man and wife, and they've been friends for a long time. They're both in their 80s, and I love them to death. But, you know, I got the question this week. Isn't Trump going to be better? Trump will do this. Trump will do that. And I said, well, I got a question for you. Are we better off right now as a country or worse off than we were 4 years ago today? So regardless of how you look at it, if we take Truman's step of the his assertion that the buck stops here, well, if that is true, then Donald Trump is responsible for everything that has happened negatively under his administration. It amazes me that people say, well, he's such a great president, but then they say, well, I've had people tell me, well, you know, he wants to do what's right, but they won't let him. Well, if they won't let him, and why has he put all of these socialists into his cabinet? Why has he put so many deep state people into his cabinet? Why has he put Goldman Sachs, so many of those people, into effective positions? Pompeo is one of the, you know, he openly says, hey, I was with the CIA. We were trained to lie. And they say that openly and nobody pays any attention. I mean, it's time that, you know, we I don't know what was the old phrase back when the nuclear bombs, when they used to tell us to hide under our desk when we were kids. Boy, I'm showing my age now. But anyway, what was the old phrase? Well, you know, you can grab both cheeks and bend over and kiss your backside goodbye. As far as this country is concerned, without divine intervention, that's going to happen, because no matter who you vote for, the government gets elected. And this government is beyond repair. The people cannot repair this. They have allowed it to progress to this point too long. They do what they want to when they want to, and the people have no say-so. If you don't believe that, just ride down the road and look how many people are wearing masks. Now I'll jump off my soapbox.
Well, that's a lot of food for thought, Mike. And, in a lot of ways, this COVID thing is the end game for government control, because they're actually telling you how many people you're allowed to have over at your house for Thanksgiving now. I mean, how much farther can this go? And your revelations about government are proving to be 100% true, because without government, they could have never pulled off this massive hoax on humanity.
Well, I can see a couple of reasons.
Go ahead, Terry.
I can see a couple of reasons why these globalist banksters, these Marxists, these Luciferians, I can see a couple of reasons why they would want Trump to win this election. One is that the left is more inclined to violence. And I really believe they want to see us in such chaotic condition that it will totally destroy the middle class. They've pretty much already accomplished it, but now, in order to prompt it to a physical civil war, I think they think that there's a better chance of doing that with Trump as winning this election. And they have to make it look like he's going to lose and then bring it back, let him win it, in order to really fuel the ire in a lot of these people who are already mentally challenged anyway. But we've seen how they will scream and squirm and go nuts when they don't get their way. And if they can taste victory and then have defeat slapped in their face, I think it would be something that could really spark a tremendous amount of violence, much greater than we've seen thus far. That's one. Another reason would be that Trump has the ability, because he is the bankruptcy king, he does have the ability to take us through a financial reset better than anybody. And those would be two reasons why they might rather see him in office right now than Biden. Would y'all feedback on that?
Yeah. I got a scenario on that. Let me tell you why I believe that they want Trump in there right now. Number one is they want him in there for the chaos that it will cause on the Democrat side. They want the cities in turmoil, especially the inner cities, because I believe, Dave, maybe we'll have to get into this at another time, but I believe we can take this back to the World Conservancy Bank in 1987 in Estes Park. I believe we can take it back to that. But what we're looking at is the destruction of the cities. Well, if the cities are destructed, look at the boom-bust cycle that the bankers love to do. And if you couldn't call this anything but a bust, because we've got hundreds of thousands of people who have lost their businesses and lost everything they had invested in those businesses because of COVID. So you've got those people who are going to have all of their properties foreclosed. You're going to have these inner cities to crumble, and those possibly will all be taken over by the international banks, all of the property being there. And we look at this scenario. So you have the destruction of the inner cities, and that happens. And so then Trump as president, and I know people aren't going to like this, and I know people are going to be really upset, but here's the thing. You put Trump into office. He's in his second term. And there's no worry about reelection or anything else. He's given us doses of his socialism with, take the guns first, due process second. He has put people like Pompeo into office. He's put people like, Marine General, put him in as Secretary of Defense when he's a deep state guy from the get-go. You put these people in, you put, Goldman Sachs into office. So then in his second term, he's full on. He doesn't have to worry about anything. And the wonderful part of that is that the powers that be know that if Trump's in office with all of this adulation that he has received from everybody, is that the people on the right, the right-wing Christian conservative, will sit on their ass and watch this country go to hell because they think Trump's going to save them. That's my scenario.
Dave, you want to jump in this conversation?
Sure. That's an interesting scenario. I'll run by a different one and see what you guys think. It seems to me like they're positioning Groper Joe to be the president. And what I see is that they're already talking about this great need we have for a national COVID policy. That's been one of the big faults here. We don't have a national COVID policy. So Joe Biden's going to lock down the economy almost immediately because he's going to trust the science. And completely destroy what's left of the economy, get people hooked on, getting a monthly check somehow in order to survive, and then get us into all the Green Deal and the Paris Accord and all that sort of thing to totally destroy what's left of industry. So that's a different scenario. What do you guys think of that one?
It sounds like fun, Dave, but what does the right wing do while that's happening? Are they going to acquiesce and just go along with that and, like you said, say, oh, well, there's always 2024.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the conservatives believe in the system, and so we just have to wait until old Groper Joe is out of office and we'll elect the right guy this time. I don't know. That's a good question, though.
There are more people joining small community groups that are organizing all over the place in order to come to each other's defense, help people out, that sort of thing. And the conservatives are joining, starting to reach out to their neighbors and others in their community in a way that I've never seen before in my lifetime.
But what are they going to do?
So I believe that the idea is to not be subject to some level of tyranny. But I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do.
Well,
even if they join the troops, doesn't mean they're going to stand up.
Well, let's say you join a group, and let's say you have a group, and you're meeting on next Thursday night, and you're planning your resistance policy—not an aggressive resistance policy, but another one. Let's say you have, and let's say one of the people in your group brings a cell phone. And let's say that one of those non-existent federal agencies has your cell phone pinged, and suddenly they deliver a gift to you courtesy of a drone. Do you really think you can fight against that?
I wasn't suggesting that they'd be able to fight against anything. I'm just – you're saying what are they going to do, and I'm telling you that's what I'm seeing. That's what I'm – witnessing. So there's a lot of people preparing, whether or not they have the courage or the assets to carry it off is a different animal. What happens if they start taking people out with a drone attack?
Well, let's just face it, guys. We do not have, and thanks to that, the people who run around clamoring about the Second Amendment, you do not have a Second Amendment. Because there's thousands of gun control laws, you do not own a machine gun. So you do not have the means to protect yourself from people who do have machine guns, rocket launchers, and the other stuff. if Americans really think that the arms that they have can defend them against the government, they've got another thing coming. It ain't going to happen, George.
Well, I guess one thing that's interesting about what Terry said is that what Terry is describing is at least there's people that are losing faith that somehow this system is going to protect them, and that the government somehow is going to be reformable. But I agree with what you're saying too, Mike, because anyone that thinks they're going to fight the army with an AR-15 and pistols is not going to happen.
No, I think the thing that, I have definitely prepared myself, and I believe that I will have a threat from roving bands of idiots when things begins to break down. And I believe my ability to protect myself and my family will lie against them. Against the government, I realize straight up front, I don't have a chance. Because here's the thing we have seen. If they send if they decide they want you and they send forces to your house, you'll have anywhere between 20 to 30 to 40 armed officers because they do not travel alone, because basically they know that they are in trouble if they travel alone. So if they send a raid, it won't be the Texas Rangers where one crime, one cop. It won't be that way, and we've already seen that. When they show up, there'll be 30 to 40, the overwhelming manpower, and you don't have a chance.
So what are you suggesting?
And if we believe for a minute that these people in uniform or badges are not going to do this, we've lost our mind. Go back to 2005, 15 years ago. Go back to New Orleans. And both the police and the military took and went house to house, even in areas where there were no flood waters or flood damage, and they disarmed the people door to door. There's videos of it. I can show them to you. They went door to door and took the weapons of people.
And the sheriffs signed away their authority in their counties to FEMA.
True. And then the thing that has amazed me from the beginning is I remember 2014, a sheriff in a sheriff candidate in southwestern Colorado, when asked at a public forum, if the federal government tells you to do something, are you going to do it? He said, of course I am. What choice do I have? And the people still voted for him because he was a Republican. Didn't make any difference what he said. And that is what I mean. Bubus Americanus lost it. And it was Thomas Jefferson who said, people get the government they deserve, and by damn, we've gotten it.
Yeah.
Okay,
and I'm sorry. Go ahead, Terry.
No, Dave, I'll follow you.
No, I was just going to say that, for example, in California, the police, most of them make well into the six figures, and they retire at 80% of their last year's salary, so they have a lot of motivation to do as they're told.
And we have taken away, and we have said over and over and over again, guys, to the people, we've said it to the politicians, and we've said it to the police. Take an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution all you want to, but you don't have to. Because we'll still vote for you, we'll still support you. Even when you break the law, we will still support you. And that's what we've said. We haven't had a constitutional war since 1941, a declared war since 1941. Has anybody been fighting in them? Do we still call them heroes? Unconstitutional wars. You took an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution, and then you violate it. And why do you violate it? Because, I have to follow those orders. I was given a direct order. Well, you know what? We hanged a lot of Germans for doing exactly that in 45.
Mike, let's pretend for a
sure.
minute that we live in a different world, a world
okay.
where Bubus Americanus doesn't exist, at least only in a small minority, and that the majority of the people are awake and are willing to follow the instructions of wisdom, of, you know, hear a truth and respond to it. What would you advise that group of people to do?
Well, if you decide as a group of people that you have to have a government, which I would recommend against, and I know who's going to build the roads, if you have to have a government, then make it the smallest government you can with the least influence on the people. People ignorant of American history do not understand that almost 100 years before the Constitution of 1787 in the western parts of Pennsylvania, Virginia, Tennessee, North Carolina, and down through Georgia, the western parts of those colonies, there were people who lived there and had their own systems without a formal government for decades and even into a century. So what is it that people think they need government? People want government out of fear. And if you create a government ends up protecting one group against another in the beginning, and then finally they protect themselves against everybody, and that's where we are. So a government requires, many things if you're going to keep it working, if you're going to keep a government honest. But a government will evolve. It's just like a child. A child grows up. As long as they're living, they grow up. As long as a government is living, it will continue to oppress the people. It's the nature of the beast. Why Jefferson, in all of his infinite wisdom, said we need a revolution every 20 years. Because that's about as long as a government will last before it becomes completely tyrannical and despotic. There was a reason for that, because he said the tree of liberty must be, nourished with the blood of tyrants and patriots. And that is true, because governments always do what they do. There is no government in history that has ever stayed benign and took care of the people. It just doesn't happen. So my recommendation is to have a government if nothing else, if you had a phone book, and I still believe this, if you took a phone book today, one of those old phone books, and you went through and picked out 435 people for the U.S. House of Representatives just at random, or just do it with a computer, just pick the people out at random, pick 100 out for senators, send them to Washington, D.C., they'd be five times better than what we have right now. Random people would be better than what we have. And Jefferson called it rotation. You can't let people stay in positions of power. Lord Acton said, absolutely, you cannot put anyone into the Senate for 47 years like Joe Biden and expect them to be honest. It's the nature of the beast. It's just nature. It's nature doing what nature does. It's the nature of man to do that. And criminals, we go back to Hobbes and Locke. And Hobbes said, we've got to have government because we have criminals. And Locke said, well, what are you going to do when the criminals control the government? I know I'm paraphrasing, but that's the truth. And now we have criminals running our government. So how do you expect that to bear good fruit? There is no way you can have a corrupt entity that bears good fruit. It's not going to happen. And that's why I think we have reached the culmination with this government. It has become so oppressive, so socialistic on both sides of the aisle, so socialistic that there is no recovery from this.
It sounds like, Mike, and frankly, this has crossed my mind, that perhaps what they are bringing us to in this chaotic condition and potential civil war, unlike any civil war we've ever seen, may be exactly what the doctor ordered to get this corrected.
Well, you won't find an argument for me, Terry, and I know it's going to hurt. I know it's going to hurt a lot of people. It's already hurt a lot of people. We've already broken so many people. Suicide rate is up unreal. Nobody's mentioning the fact that suicides in the military are up 30 to 40%. Nobody's mentioning all of this stuff as it's going on because you don't want to talk about that because you have to have 24-hour COVID to keep boobas putting on the mask. You repeat it over and over and over again. We learned that from Joseph Goebbels. So you repeat it over and over and over again, repeat it often enough, and the people believe it. And they really like to believe the big lies more than the small ones. So give them a big lie to believe. Nature of man, and that's what we're seeing in the very nature of this. And absolutely this, there needs to be a purge and a cleaning in this government, in this country. I'm sorry. There needs to be a purge and a cleaning because this thing is broken, and it's broken so bad it's unreal. And you can't fix it. You can't put a new pilot in a plane that is diving towards the earth at 300 miles an hour with no controls and think he's going to bring it out of the dive. It's not going to happen. And honest people, here's the biggest thing, is the people who should be in office don't want to be in office. The best person for any political job is the person that doesn't want it. Because anyone who desires a political career desires at the base of their heart to have control over other people. I don't think I would like to hear someone convince me against that, but I truly believe that's true. And I found out way back in the 80s from a high school friend who actually ended up in Congress that if you get to Congress and think you're going to do what's right, even your own political party won't support you. And you certainly won't get any positions in any committees. You will not become powerful if you try to do what's right in Washington, D.C.
That's interesting. I agree with that, Mike. And, you know, I was contemplating about, you know, you corrected me the other day about, you know, I said to you, well, who's going to build the roads? And you corrected me on that. And, you know, what I realized after thinking about that conversation is that if there is no government, the level of personal responsibility will just skyrocket amongst the average person.
And is that not a wonderful happening, Dave? When people start taking responsibility for themselves and what they do, and that is one of the things, that's such a great point, Dave, because that's what government takes away from you. It makes you forever a mental midget. Because you don't have to plan for anything, you don't have to do for anything, because government's going to cover everything. And it takes away your responsibility. Well, I'm not responsible for that. Somebody else will do it. I'm not responsible for taking care of my family. I'll dial 911. You absolve the human being of the responsibility that should be natural in their progression as a human. Great point, Dave.
What does that do to our defense against tyranny around the world that might come against us if we didn't have a government, Mike?
Well, one of the things I believe, and I like what Patrick Henry said, believe it or not, but the problem with America since 1945 is America has created most of its own enemies. And if you go back and look at our enemies, most of our enemies, we armed them first so that they would be able to fight, so we'd have a war to fight. You know, let's go back to Vietnam. Ho Chi Minh and Bo Win Jop both asked the United States, because they helped the United States against the Japanese. Both of those men asked America to support their independence against France when the war was over. They asked for us to help. They were willing to make a constitution like ours for our help, and we told them, you go back to France. That's the deal. You think they might hate you after that? You think they might sign up with the communists because you pushed them into a corner? And how many others have we done the same way? We create enemies so that our military, industrial, congressional, banking complex will have somebody to fight. because there's much more money returned on war than there is any other investment. So why do bankers push war? It's simple logic, and we've lost the ability to see that.
Yeah, and I think China is the newest example of the best enemy money can buy.
Well, look at all of the places. Look at all we've done for China. Dave, I think you and I discussed this past Saturday. Look at all we've done for China. Didn't Clinton give them guidance system for their missiles? Didn't we let them have Long Beach? Didn't we provide them with all kind of materials and to help them out? And weren't we real nice and develop a virus at Fort Detrick and to send it to Wuhan so they'd have something to use?
Yeah, and NAFTA and most favored nation trading status. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. We create. And that was one thing Patrick Henry brought up. And he said that when it comes to foreign policy, you can't help one country. Because if you help one country, you can't create an enemy out of another one.
Mike,
can
you explain what a special access program is?
It depends on the context, Terry. Are you referring to that in what... Give me a little bit more to go on there.
I'm referring to what was on the server in Benghazi. I'm referring to what Clinton sold out to China and others to give a backdoor key to otherwise confidential information.
Well, that's been going on for quite some time. We have provided... You know, look at, again, I go back, not to be redundant, but look at all the countries we have equipped. Most of the U.S. soldiers who will tell you when they first went to Vietnam in 1959, sent there by Eisenhower, as a matter of fact, who sent the first troops to Vietnam, and he sent them and he called them advisors, but it doesn't. They can call you anything they want to. If you're shooting weapons at other people, you're a soldier. And so... We sent the people there in 59, and why? But the first soldiers, even into the early 60s, the first soldiers into Vietnam, what weapons were used against them was usually the M1 carbine, which we had provided to Vietnam during World War II, and also the Bouncing Betty mine, which was the scourge in the early 60s for American soldiers, and the Bouncing Betty mine was created by the U.S. And if you go to, and I thought this was a great point by L. Fletcher Prouty, when he said that they thought that they were going to do an invasion of China, of Japan, and before they dropped the bombs, they were going to do an invasion, so they put all of the supplies on Okinawa, and they had tons and tons and tons of munitions and supplies on Okinawa. Well, once we dropped the bombs in August of 45, once we dropped Hiroshima and Nagasaki, we dropped those bombs and Japan capitulates. Where did those supplies go, guys? Where did we send those supplies? And this is documented. We supplies that were on Okinawa, and we took half of them to Hanoi and took the other half to Korea. Well, where were our next two wars? This, you know, the Americans don't know their history, and they don't want to, and they believe that what they were taught by someone who was indoctrinated into a socialist college, they believe that what they teach them in school is the truth about history, and it's perverted history. The history is in the official documents, and the documents are there, but they're not going to be there much longer, I promise you. I guess I went around your question there, Terry. Did I even come close to answering it for you?
Well, my point was that all of the things that you talked about being sold or given away to foreign interest, the special access programs gave unlimited access to all of that. And that's what Clinton was selling.
Well, and that's true. And let's think of something else. You know, we had troops in Afghanistan for, what, 19 years now? And who owns the largest copper mine in the world? Happens to be in Afghanistan. Who bought that copper mine back years ago under the Taliban? Sorry, it was China. So China has the largest copper mine in Afghanistan, and who guards it? American troops. Why?
Yeah, and as I understand it, a lot of the oil interests in Iraq have been eaten up by China as well.
Well, the thing of it is when we go back and we think that the American media is going to tell us the truth about anything, we are sadly mistaken, as we're seeing, and you gentlemen both alluded to earlier. The things that are happening with all of this stuff, you know, we don't know where that oil is because no one tells us. And why did we go to war with Afghanistan anyway when the alleged bombers from 9/11 came from Saudi Arabia? Well, let me see now. Who wined and dined the Taliban in Texas and took them all over the place and then had Unocal Oil Company come in and offer them millions of dollars, offer the Taliban millions of dollars if they would go back and allow us to Unocal to put a pipeline across Afghanistan? Well, the Taliban took the millions of dollars that they were offered after they were wined and dined in Texas and taken to Texas Ranger football games and baseball games and all this other stuff. And then they went back to Afghanistan and went, gave us the raspberry and said, nope, you can't put your pipeline in. Oh, well, how convenient. So then what happens? So then we have a war in Afghanistan, and Afghanistan gets bombed. And who did we put in as the president or the premier or whatever you want to call him of Afghanistan? Oh, Karzai, Ahmed Karzai. Well, what did Ahmed Karzai do before he went to Afghanistan? Oh, my. He was an executive of Unocal Oil Company. Ooh. Okay. Does any of this make sense? Do you begin to see the scheme that has been going on for so long?
A lot of coincidences there, Mike.
Oh, yeah, I know. You know, and if you understand the world of intelligence, military intelligence, that oxymoronic thing, or government intelligence, which is equally oxymoronic, the thing of it is you are taught from day one there's no such thing as a coincidence. There's somebody behind
it
somewhere.
There really isn't any coincidence. And sometimes our Father in Heaven is behind some of it, too. He either allows it or...
Yeah, there are, you know, there's so many of these things that we look at and we wonder about, you know, how these things happen. You know, we go into the Taliban has almost completely cut out the heroin trade out of Afghanistan. I mean, they have cut it down to almost nothing, comparatively speaking, to what it had been. So the Taliban cuts down the opium trade. And so then we go into Afghanistan. We invade Afghanistan to get, Osama bin Laden, who had probably already been dead about 5 years. So we go into Afghanistan to get rid of Osama bin Laden. And what do we do? Well, then we end up putting our troops, and there's pictures on the internet, folks, you can look at it. So we put our troops out there to guard poppy fields and the production of heroin and opium. The production of opium goes up dramatically after we invade Afghanistan. Was that an accident? Did that just happen? Did suddenly
every time
the government
declares war on something that's supposed to be criminal, it seems that all they're doing is creating a monopoly.
Well,
they take over and monopolize the crime.
Well, I remember years ago being called in and being told that I had to remove a bumper sticker from my pickup truck when I was at that funny place at Fort Meade, Maryland. I remember being called in by my superior and him telling me that I had to take the bumper sticker off my truck, and the bumper sticker on my truck said, "Dare to keep the CIA off drugs."
Dare to keep the CIA what?
Dare to keep the CIA off drugs.
Yeah.
Because drug trade in this, on this planet, drug trade, the money that the CIA gathers from the drug trade fuels so many of their black programs. So they don't appear on the spreadsheets. So, and they've been involved, they were heavily involved with in the drug trade in Vietnam, Air America, or as we called it, Air Nook Mom. So there was the, they've been involved in it all along.
We should get a hold of Chip Tatum and get him on this show sometime.
Oh, well, you know, it's, I, Terry, it's, I realize I'm not the sharpest pencil in the drawer, but I can't understand why other people can't see this. Why can't you see this? It's like Saturday, Dave and Giuseppe and I drew a roadmap from Estes Park in 87 right up to the doorstep of today. It's there if you will look at it, but the one thing is you have to believe it. And it's like Emma Goldman said about Americans, they don't want to be free. They want to be comfortable. And the truth of what this government is doing will keep you uncomfortable every day. So there's no comfort in that. So the people just look the other way and go to the polls every 2 years.
So what's your crystal ball, guys? Look into your crystal balls and tell us where things are going to be in the next few days and the next few weeks.
Go ahead, Dave.
You take it first, Mike.
Well, the thing I see is that we are, you know, whatever happens is whatever the international banker cabal thinks benefits them most. So it will be, I believe, chaos. We're going to have chaos over this election. You know, and I thought irony of all ironies, I think I mentioned this to you before, Dave. Irony of all ironies, this goes to the Supreme Court, which is unconstitutional to start with, and Bubas wasn't smart enough to figure out that the Supreme Court telling Florida to stop counting votes in 2000 was unconstitutional, and the Supreme Court deciding who was president in 2000 was totally unconstitutional. But now we have that thing that lawyers love to call precedent. And so now we have the – so I thought irony of all ironies, the election goes to the Supreme Court, and it's a 4-4 tie, and Amy Coney Barrett puts her decision in the favor of Biden. Is that not the irony of all ironies, guys?
Yeah.
You really believe that's a possibility?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Let me see now. There are people who believe. You guys mentioned the Catholics before earlier, right?
Yeah.
Didn't you mention Catholic control? Some people have talked about the Catholic control of our government, the Jesuits and others. Amy Coney Barrett is what faith? Amy Coney Barrett's what faith?
She's not just Catholic. She's Opus Dei. She worked right there with Scalia.
Okay, well, what faith is Joe Biden?
Catholic.
Oh, my. Coincidence, I'm sure.
And
well,
who was judge that was recently appointed?
One second. Let me run this one by Terry. Terry, the week before John Roberts ruled for Obamacare, how many people would have believed that?
Well, I would have, because I am aware of his relationship with Ted Cruz and that he obtained his children through an illegal adoption, and his gay lifestyle as a young man were all things that Obama had over his head on him. So I would have believed it, but very few other people would have even conceived it.
Well, I can remember the wonderful conservatives around where I was at the time were just utterly shocked. They couldn't believe that this wonderful man that they had supported because he was a conservative pick, and that means everything. Hell, guys, I even saw some guy on Facebook the other day say now the Second Amendment is totally safe because of Amy Coney Barrett. Is she one justice, or is she taking over the whole damn court? People don't have a clue. And I'm sorry for interrupting you, Dave. Go ahead, buddy.
No, no problem. I was just going to mention that Roberts is also a Knights of Malta, which isn't an exclusively Catholic organization anymore, but it's sort of a secret society. And who was the other judge that was accused of rape in high school? He's a Catholic too, I believe.
Kavanaugh.
Yeah, Kavanaugh.
Well, Kavanaugh sure protected the Clintons in the Vince Foster case, so I can see why conservatives just love him.
You know, most people don't know about what happened there. Mike, why don't you give us a little bit more detail on that?
Well, he was the U.S. attorney for Washington, D.C. when Vince Foster. You can find the whole thing. It's well laid out on the Internet for anyone who would like the actual particulars. Please contact me at Rebel Madman, and I will be happy to provide them for you. But here was the wonderful Kavanaugh going out intimidating witnesses who saw a different car, who saw a different circumstance, who saw a totally different thing. Here is the U.S. attorney who is going out and intimidating a witness not to testify. Now, since when does a U.S. attorney intimidate witnesses? So that's the story on Kavanaugh. He did everything he could to protect the Clintons as a U.S. attorney, and he's been rewarded for it. Look where he is. He's got a job for the rest of his life, and you know all he has to do is show up every once in a while and mutter. Or in the case of his former member, he can sit up there and fall asleep if he wants to.
You know, Mike, it seems my experience over the last two decades says that it's become the norm, the intimidation you talked about that someone might be surprised about seems to be more the norm than the exception.
No, I don't think there's any doubt.
And that's really
about that.
The corrupt judiciary is a major, major stumbling block to doing any kind of correction of the federal government.
Well, as I stated very early on, the federal judiciary was put in place by the Federalists to protect the government. Look at all of the decisions that have come down. Look at all of John Marshall's decisions. Did he ever protect the people or did he protect the government? In McCulloch versus Maryland, did he say that the government has all kind of implied powers or did he restrict the government's powers?
Are you suggesting that there's really no difference between the government and Big Pharma?
I'm suggesting there's no difference between the government and organized crime.
Because they have protected their crimes. They have protected their criminal industries.
Well, they have, Terry, but look, all they have to do is to go on television now to have complete and total immunity from lawsuits. All they have to do is to go on television and tell poor, dumb, boobus Americanus that if he's got eczema, he can take this pill, and this pill might cause a heart attack, it might cause cancer, it might cause all of these other things, but he'll die with clears. Tell him that. Then the people, oh, well, I saw the ad on TV, you know, side effects, oh, that's never going to happen to me. Let me have that. So then if he takes it to clear up his skin and it kills him, he has, a cancer, melanoma, all the other stuff they say you can have from it. If he gets that, there's no recourse because they can't be sued. And right now, if with the Veterans Administration and all the stuff they got into several years ago about letting veterans die, which is what they're really in place to do anyway, but they're there to let veterans die when they were caught with that. Did you know that through Veterans Administration, if they administer the wrong medicine, or if they administer a medicine to you, did you know that a veteran can sue the VA, but he can't sue Big Pharma?
Yeah,
wow.
I did know that. That's kind of a Hamiltonian policy, isn't it?
Well, you know, that's another thing, you know, that history, and everybody loves George Washington, and that's fine. You can put his picture up all you want to. But I think the evidence is clear if you read the letters between Washington, Jefferson, and Madison. If you go back and read that exchange of letters, there is absolutely no doubt that Hamilton was running the country. It wasn't Washington. Washington was the figurehead. Hamilton was running the country. Hamilton even issued an executive order for the president. It's documented. Jefferson wrote Washington a letter and said, here's all the things. Why is he allowed to do this? Washington then sends the letter to Hamilton and says, okay, why are you doing this? What? If the president has to ask the Secretary of Treasury why he's doing stuff, who's in charge? It's such a perverted history, gentlemen. I realize I'm cynical, but I've gotten that way for good reason.
Well, Dave, I'm out of questions. You got any?
Well, you know, I can see why you're cynical. Look where we are now. We're at the end game of government here, really, which is, you know, like I said earlier, they can tell you how many people you're allowed to have over for Thanksgiving and whether or not you're allowed to go to church.
Well, hey, guys, let me ask you a question. What is the difference between a plantation slave in 1860 and an American today? We are all slaves on that great federal plantation. Someone please
convince me. I just keep thinking about Patrick Henry's statement that fear is the passion of slaves. And you look today and you see how many people are walking around in fear. And my fear is that we're not going to be able to overcome that.
Well, people embrace government. People create government because of fear, Terry. They are afraid of something. Why else would anybody want government in their lives if they weren't afraid of something?
Well, that's the mess we're in. That really defines the mess we're in right now. Does it not?
Yeah. Yeah, we got to be protected against COVID or we're all going to die.
Well, here's the thing, we're all going to die anyway, guys.
That's right.
You know, that is, if people do not understand that, and we all know, what is it, guys? Ecclesiastes, Terry, help me out here, that each is appointed a time to die? Well, if we believe that, if we believe the scripture, why would you ever put on a mask? I want the Christian community to answer that for me, and please don't tell me you're trying to protect the other people.
The only reason I ever put on a mask is because I'm in somebody else's house and they're living in fear and I can't go in because they're afraid of me walking in without a mask. That's the only reason that I ever put on a mask.
Well, Terry, if I go to someone's house or even if I go to someone's business and they say, I want you to wear a mask, I understand their property rights and I just don't go in. So I haven't been in any store that tells me I have to wear a mask. Most of the time I walk in looking at you funny. Yeah, or you walk out. If they tell you, if it's their business, they own it, they pay for it, it's their responsibility. If they tell you you have to have a mask, then I just don't go in. That's their prerogative. It's just like the old thing when we had the deal about smoking. You know, well, we ought to be able to force businesses to allow smoking. No, you shouldn't. You shouldn't be allowed to force a business to do anything except to maintain a certain health standard, and mask doesn't have anything to do with that.
Well, maybe I could ask both of you guys a question. What kind of response have you gotten when you've tried to just talk to people that you see around town or people that are, you know, peripherally in your life? When you tell them, look, this is a fraud, this is the biggest scam, or whatever you say, what has been people's reactions to you personally?
I get two reactions. The first one is the wall goes up and they walk away, or they say, well, you're entitled to your opinion, and then they don't listen after that. They completely shut down. And the other response is, oh, finally, somebody else that understands. So you get that's it. I mean, there's really nothing in between. Either somebody totally agrees with you and is wondering why the heck we're doing all of this, even though they're complying, they're glad to know somebody else believes what they believe, even in their compliance, or they totally shut down. And a few get angry. A few are obviously not happy that you are speaking the truth.
Well, guys, I tell you, one of the things I have noticed. Well, the thing I have noticed here, and because of the present circumstances of needing to be near our grandchildren, we are currently in an RV in an RV park, and this is a large RV park, and there is approximately, I'd say, 150 RVs here or more. And we have been here since June, and I have yet to see any one of the people here, except maybe some when they first come into the park to check in. I have yet to see anyone here with a mask on. And I'm not going to tell you where it is because somebody may listen and decide to send the health people over here. But there is... I see no one, and I walk my dogs. I go from place to place. I don't see anyone with a mask on. Now, some of the employees of the place, they wear a mask because I guess it's required from their employer. But the people who are here, and there has to be, I'd say, somewhere in the neighborhood of 300 to 400 people, and not a mask yet.
Wow. Yeah, I've noticed that thing here that, you know, it seems like the so-called least educated people are the most open to not believing this, and the so-called educated people are the true believers. You know, I've gotten this reaction from several people, don't you know people are dying? I was like, yeah, sure, people are dying every day. That's nothing new.
And less are dying today than they were a year ago.
Well, here's the thing that I've asked people over and over and over again. According to Johns Hopkins University, there's over 1,000 people a day in this country die from preventable medical errors. And if you factor in the deaths from legal drugs and combine that with the death of preventable medical errors, we far exceed anything that they're talking about COVID on this on an annual basis. Has anybody decided to get rid of doctors and Big Pharma yet?
Well, you're talking to one. I don't go to a doctor anymore, and I certainly would not take prescribed medicines anymore.
Well, I asked a physician a year or so ago, and I was in Russellville, and I asked a physician, and he was talking about, oh, we get these lawsuits for this, we get the lawsuits for that. And I said, well, Doc, do you know that have done something really stupid and actually caused someone's death as a doctor and made the wrong decision and did this or did that? And he said, oh yeah. He said, that's not a rare occurrence. And I said, well, should they be charged criminally? And he said, why no? And I said, well, if you kill somebody, what difference does it make if I kill somebody with a gun and you kill them with a scalpel? But, you know, logic, you can't throw logic into the discussion. Bubas just will not permit it.
Guys, we've got 5 minutes left. I think each one of us should take about a minute and a half closing comments. Dave, you want to go first?
Well, I just to wrap up our discussion about masks and where this is going, you know, what I've started telling people that are true believers, I'm very frank now. I just tell people, you know, you are actively participating in the destruction of human freedom by going along with this, whether you know it or not. And it's not gone over all that well, but that's the truth of the matter. And we're facing something that is absolute and may be irreversible if humanity keeps going along with this fraud. And the only other thing I'd add is this has been a tremendous conversation and a lot of food for thought for me personally.
Well, I agree with that, Dave. Mike, you want me to go next and you close it?
Hey, yeah, please do, Terry.
I have to tell people, and I think it's important for us to say it here, that where we are in this mess right now goes beyond COVID, goes beyond the election. Because what they have done to us, and when I say they, I'm talking about the banksters, the Luciferian, Kabbalist, cabal banksters. What they have done has destroyed the supply lines. A global food shortage has already begun. We are going to see a chaotic situation just from the panic of the people when they recognize that they have not prepared sufficiently for the economic and physical conditions we're going to find ourselves in short order. So I ask everyone to pray, but I ask them to take action, to prepare, to protect, and provide for their families that are listening. Because we've got a problem ahead of us in short-term period, could hit within weeks, that when the people panic, it doesn't have to be over COVID at this point. It doesn't have to be over the election at this point. It's going to be when they recognize that they can no longer go to the store and just get whatever they need within a few days. Go for it, Mike.
Well, I think George Santayana or Jorge Santayana was perfectly correct when he said, those who fail to learn the lessons of history are destined to repeat its mistakes. That's not verbatim, but that's pretty close. And I would ask everyone, and I agree with you totally, Terry, and go back and look. We are dealing with Marxists now. We have Marxists at every level of our government. And the ones who aren't Marxists are fascists. So our government's pretty well full of socialists. So either national or Marxist. So look, go back in history. What did Stalin pull off in the Ukraine in the early 1930s? Holodomor. He starved millions of people to death when there was plenty of food. We may be sitting on the cusp of that right now. We may be sitting on the cusp of that exact thing, because all the government has to do is to cut down the supply lines. Do you think it was an accident years ago that people were charged criminally from growing a garden? You think that was just an accident? You don't think these things have been in the plans for the longest time? What happened to all of the seeds? Tried to buy any seeds lately? Tried to buy any heirloom seeds lately? You think that's not conspired at some point in some place by government? And government knows that if they pull the right strings, they can shut everything down. They've already proved that. All they have to do is you have non-essential businesses. Of course, you know, an essential business is one that they support. So when they can say an essential business and a non-essential business, they decide who makes money and who doesn't. We are in the time of I hate to say it, but it's past time to wake up. And even those of us who are awake are now going to suffer the same circumstances as Bubas. Unfortunately, because they still believe that the pathway to freedom and liberty in America is found at the polling place.
Well, gentlemen, I hold you both in high esteem, and I certainly have enjoyed this conversation tonight. We are out of time. We will be back next Thursday with Yahweh's blessing. And hope everyone enjoyed this show and got something out of it. Thanks for being here, Dave. Mike, good night, gentlemen.
Hey, thank you, guys. Good night.
Please welcome Disturbed.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was a great show. Thank you very much. Good night.
Darkness, my own friend, I've come to talk with you again, because a vision softly creeping left its scenes while I was sleeping, and the vision that was planted in my brain silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, neath the halo of a street lamp, I turned my collar to the cold and damp, when my eyes were stared by the flash of a neon light that split the night, and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more, people talking with silence. Well, said I, you do not know. Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. But my
time set the